And it is Jared of the GM live out at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, where, of course, we'll be, I believe, all season long out here. So come on out and see us on your way into Bridgestone. Preds tonight, Carolina. Of course, that game, first televised preseason game, last home preseason game for the Predators. 1 week from tomorrow, Floyd Reese, we'll be sitting right here at Pete and Terry's Tavern getting ready for the season opener at home against Minnesota.
Came quickly. And the preseason's just a blink.
I could not disagree more.
Ready.
I could not disagree more with your assumption. I thought this was a very long offseason compared to the last couple of offseasons.
Preseason.
Oh, I thought you were saying it came quick in terms of the offseason wasn't long. I'm like, the offseason was so long, they got bounced before the draft.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully that changes. But the Titans, well, they may need the Preds to play well, because if the Titans don't get it turned around here in a hurry, their season may be over pretty soon. Even though it is early and they are only 1-2. Delanie Walker today was talking about the difference between what it's like today in the NFL and what it used to be like in the NFL. And this is what Delanie Walker said today.
When I came in the league in 2006, I know that's a long time ago, the atmosphere was a lot different. You know, we were 1-2. It would be pissed off guys walking around here, calling guys out, team meeting without the coaches. But today's football, it's a lot different. A lot of these guys can't take that. A lot of these guys don't like to be called out. They want to fight or they want to be traded. And that's pretty much where we're going today with this game. Is that you can see the rule changes and everything is just different.
So, Floyd, with that, my question to you is, one, do you think Delanie Walker, Bernard Pollard, for example, on Twitter went on a rampage, basically saying that that's the team leader calling the Titans soft. What do you make of his comments, and do you think they're directed at the Titans?
No. I mean, I don't. I think they're directed, just listening to it, at Ramsey.
I think they're directed at young people.
At people like that. At people that are, you know, wanting to be trade AB, and, you know, I think that's where he was. That was just me, and that was the impression I got. Now, there are a lot of, you know, there are probably a lot of people you could account it to, but I thought he was voicing an opinion on those kind of guys.
So Bernard Pollard, the old Titan safety, who I think's kind of a kook, Bernard Pollard tweeted out, quote, "The Titans culture is awful. People dogged me for years for speaking the truth, but you're hearing your leader basically say we soft and we suck and no one cares. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sell the team, new coach, new GM. The fans deserve better." Like, that's a hot take. I mean, to me, listening to Delanie Walker say that.
How is that a hot take?
From Bernard Pollard?
Yes.
It's totally a hot take.
Because
he wants to sell the team because of what Delanie Walker said.
Let me say this.
That's like something Skip Bayless would say.
That is so ridiculous.
That's what makes it a hot take.
How can you even acknowledge that? That is like talking to a fourth grader.
I agree.
And that's what a hot take is?
A hot take. Like when Stephen A. Smith gets on TV and says something nuts, that's a hot take.
Oh, God.
It's like when someone says something ridiculous, you kind of look around like, that is a hot take. And that is what Bernard Pollard said, which I disagree with. I think Delanie Walker's comments are meant for young people in general. And to be honest with you, I agree with them. You know, I mean, young people today, and I'm not even talking about myself because I'll be 30 tomorrow, so it's not like I'm young anymore. Young people today just want everything handed to them. They don't want to work, and they certainly don't want to be criticized for anything. So what happens is, you know, back in the day, you'd go 1-2. People would get mad at each other. People would argue with each other. They'd talk it out, and then they'd move on, and they'd get ready for the next week. Now, it's like if you say something to somebody, it's like, well, you hurt my feelings. And they sit there and they cry about it. I mean, Delanie's basically saying the NFL's gotten soft. He's not talking about the Titans. He's talking about the league. And to your point, he brings up guys like Ramsey. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about, is guys like Ramsey, who's like, oh, they disrespected me in April. And so I'm mad that they disrespected me in April. And it's time for me to leave. Like, they're supposed to get on you. They're the coaches. They're the executives. Their job is to push you. And I think that's what Delanie's message was.
Maybe. I don't know.
Not Bernard Pollard's message of...
Bernard Pollard. Jeez. Let me call Caleb, my 7-year-old grandson, see what his hot takes are going to be today. What do you think, Caleb? Oh, I think they're all crazy. Oh, God, there's a hot take for you.
I mean, Bernard Pollard's words carry no weight, but I'm just saying he said it, and a lot of people are making a big deal about what he said.
Oh, okay.
Again, the Bernard Pollard. The Titans culture is awful. People dog me for speaking the truth, but you're hearing your leader basically say we soft and we suck and no one cares. I said it before and I'll say it again. Sell the team, new coach, new GM. The fans deserve better. I'm pretty sure Bernard Pollard played with Vrabel in Kansas City, by the way.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
Now, he was a really old school player, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he basically knocked Shane Vereen out of you going to the Super Bowl one time. So, I mean, again, I would say this, though. I would like to see the Titans have a little bit more urgency now that they're 1-2. Because as much as everybody can tell me that 1-2 is not a big deal, and I agree. I mean, the Titans have been 1-2 before and made the playoffs and all kinds of stuff. As much as people can tell me that 1-2 is not a big deal, 1-3, 1-4, 1-5 is a big deal. And so the more people sit there and act like, hey, it's all right, it's 1-2. Roger Saffold, who has sucked for 3 weeks, has come out and said, oh, I'm not worried, we got plenty of time. I'm like, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you because you have been stinking it up. And so from where I sit, like, I understand. I appreciate what Delaney's saying from a Titans standpoint. I know he's talking about the whole league, but I would just like to see a little bit more pep in their step and a little bit more urgency for the fact that if they dig this hole deeper, it's going to be hard to get out of.
Yeah, if it gets too deep. I mean, their chances of getting out are very, very slim. But, I mean, we're certainly not there.
I know, but they have to realize that, and they have to play like it's not, because if they don't, then it will be that way. And if it is that way, then all of a sudden we're looking at a lost season, and then they're going to have to go get a new quarterback, and then they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, and there's no guarantee that that quarterback's any good. And then the head coach might get fired because the team might be 4-12 the next year, and then the general manager probably gets fired after that, and now you're back to being the same old Titans. And we've said, constantly changing the GM and the coach is not good long-term for the team. But if this team lets this season get away, it ultimately could have those kind of ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will, but good. I mean, anything's possible.
Not at the end of this year, but I'm saying if they draft a quarterback in the first round next year, they'll be terrible.
Very likely.
And if they're terrible 2 years in a row, they'll fire the coach.
Well, when you bring in a new quarterback, you'll get a little leeway.
They didn't give Wisenhunt a lot of leeway.
Wisenhunt didn't deserve a lot of leeway. But if you bring in and you're a decent coach, then you'll get a little leeway. I'm not saying he will or he won't, but I know it's not unusual when you have a new quarterback to come in and try to get the quarterback over the hump.
Do you feel like the Titans have the urgency that they need to get themselves out of this?
There is. Everything that you think you're saying, they've heard every day for the last week and a half, however long it's been since the game. I mean, they are well aware of what's going on. They're well aware of the situation. I mean, I think they understand the importance and urgency of where they are and, you know, where they're headed. So, I mean, this is their livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about it, but they live it. And so every single person they talk to is telling them exactly the same thing, which is, hey, you guys got to get it going, man. You don't. You're going to be in real trouble. I got it. You know, I mean, they're hearing that literally every time they turn around.
Let's take some phone calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Plus, today, Vrabel met with the media, and I was a little surprised that the accountability lecturing seemed to go down a little bit. But I think I know the real purpose of Vrabel's messaging. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Can a guy, you know, specifically Marcus, can he be too critical of himself sometimes? And do you have to work with him on that at all?
Well, I mean, I think everybody has high expectations for what we do as coaches and as players. So I think some of that's good. I think some of that, I mean, we have to have the ability to go on to the next play and play the next play and understand that, you know, it's a long game and that there's going to be other opportunities to make plays. And, you know, we have to have short memory, especially during these football games when there are mistakes, and you know, not that we want them or want a whole bunch of them, but to be able to respond to them and come back and have that type of mindset.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about, hey, is it hard for Marcus to turn the page a little bit? So Mike Vrabel has been talking about accountability all week, right, Floyd?
Yeah, he's talked about it a lot.
As soon as the Jacksonville game was over, accountability, accountability, accountability. Now, yesterday he didn't talk so much about it. I mean, today he didn't talk so much about it. Yesterday on the coach's show, that was the number one topic with Mike Keith on TV was accountability. Vrabel yesterday or Vrabel earlier in the week about accountability.
We focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning. Being accountable. You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, I will take responsibility for my own actions. Figured out later on in life that was called accountability. You know, taking responsibility and fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better, and then this is how I'm going to fix it.
So he's talking about accountability. And I wonder if that accountability is pointed in the direction of Marcus, which is, Marcus, I'm teaching you what you're doing wrong, and if you don't get it right, I will make the change to Ryan Tannehill.
I think that's for all the players. I mean, I think it's like those defensive long runs we saw. Mm-hmm. Defense goes out there, plays a great game, then you give up 250, 60-yard runs. Well, how does that happen? That happens because somebody is not where they're supposed to be. And that's accountability. The rest of the defense and the defensive coordinator, everybody is counting on you being where you're supposed to be. And if you're not, then you're not being accountable to your teammates. And I think that's where he's going with it, across the board. And that's true at literally every position.
I just wonder if Vrabel is slowly and softly working us into preparing us for a quarterback change.
He's not the one that's going to, the quarterback change will happen on its own. I mean, that will be an easy decision when the time comes.
Is that like how in Washington, Jay Gruden says Dwayne Haskins is coming along because Washington's probably not going to have a choice in another couple of games but have to play Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, I mean, the little bit I saw them play the other night, yes. I mean, they are really, really struggling. And the bottom line is they'd probably like to do it now, but he's not ready. And so, consequently, you can throw him out there, but he's going to get killed or he's going to cost you more games. You're going to be uglier than you already are, which is, you know, a week earlier to get you fired, probably. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the decision is tough. But I think their point is, and this is, I mean, believe me, when you play with really good teams and you play on a team that is really good in a certain area, there's tremendous pride in that now. And these players, they thrive on that. And they, if they can get that high from playing on that team and having success and being known as one of the best and all those things, I mean, that's more important than during the game. That's more important than money. That's more important than fame, fortune, everything. So they all crave that.
I'm just saying, I think Vrabel is preparing us for a coaching change. I mean, a quarterback change. I do. I think he is I think he, just the way he talks about Marcus, he just doesn't even seem excited to talk about him. Like, I think he's getting ready. The more I think about all the accountability stuff, the more I think he's getting ready for it. And I don't know why, but it just seems like that's the path we're headed. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025, live out at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tommy is up next on Jalen Ramsey. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, Jaron. First of all, I want to apologize to you. I'm a Jag fan, and I left you a very nasty tweet after the game the other night, and I owe you an apology. It was very not classy.
That's so okay. I probably didn't say it. Don't worry about it.
Well, good. Well, I just want to tell you I love you, and I love your show, and it was out of line. So I apologize for that. And Floyd, Bubba,
yes, sir.
If I won the lottery tomorrow and bought the Jaguars, I'd fire Tom Coughlin and hire you because you've kicked our ass so many times.
Tommy, get to the point, please.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a scoop on Jalen Ramsey. This is 100% true, and I validated it. I was laying in bed at 11:15
last night. You do not have a scoop on Jalen Ramsey.
Okay, just hear me out. So I got a text last night from my stepson, and it was a picture of a conversation that he had with my son-in-law, he and his brother. Last night, my son-in-law, who works in a restaurant in Los Angeles, at 9:15 LA time.
You got 10 more seconds, Tommy.
He was serving Jalen Ramsey in a restaurant. Jalen Ramsey was in Los Angeles last night. Now we know why he couldn't make practice today. And all of a sudden, now he has a bad back. But he swore to me 100%. I called him today to validate it. He said it was Jalen Ramsey. His charge card said Jalen Ramsey.
All right, thank you for the call, Tommy.
And he said,
I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not sure I even really care. Now, if they were playing Jacksonville this week, I might care. But, one, I'm not. I don't know if Jalen Ramsey.
I thought I saw something that said he was at the facility.
Well, that was Friday. Thursday and Friday, he said he had a back and a hamstring injury, and they looked at it Friday and Thursday.
Right, but I thought when he said he wasn't going to be there because he had the flu or whatever it was, that he came in that day. Monday?
Don't you have to come into work, like, if you want to get paid? Even if you're sick in the NFL, you still have to show up, right?
Well, I mean, you may show up, but they're going to run you out of there pretty quick.
Right, but you still have to let them run you out of there. You can't just say you're sick and not show up, can you?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they believe you, sure. If you're honorable guy,
you may not believe him. So I don't know where Jalen Ramsey was. I don't care where Jalen Ramsey is. It doesn't matter to me. It's unfortunate that he is going to tear that team apart, and the Titans are not going to be able to take advantage of it, at least the first time around. Cedric is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Cedric.
Hey, Jared. Now, from a media standpoint, you've been all over, right? Have you been in a big market? Have you worked in a big market like New York City, Chicago, something like that?
I mean, I essentially worked in Boston, yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, if Marcus Mariota was in a big market in year five with these numbers, wouldn't they run his tail out of town? Or, am I right in saying it?
You mean, what is it, four touchdowns, no interceptions?
No, I'm talking about his four-year production. He wouldn't be run out of town. We're talking about the number two overall pick, and there's no accountability from the media holding this guy accountable. Now, you're talking about if we get a rookie quarterback, we're going to be 6-10? Dude, Joe Burrow right now can make every throw Marcus Mariota can make, and then some. We got a bird for Burrow, baby. I'm going to keep saying it until draft time. And get that bum out of town, baby. Woo!
Thanks for the call, Seth.
Burrow is going to be a hot item. I can see that right now.
I mean, this idea, this goes back to that whole reading the field thing. Do you really think that Joe Burrow can see the field like Marcus can and can make every throw like Marcus can and can do all the things Marcus can? And I know it's fun to say right now. You do realize Marcus Mariota was the single best player in college football the year before he came out of the draft. Like, the best. There was no number two. They got to the national championship game, and he won the Heisman Trophy. He was the best player in college football. It's hard to play quarterback in the NFL. And if you think that some rookie's going to come right in here tomorrow and light it up and you're going to be in the Super Bowl, maybe they do find the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't know.
It sure be nice.
But, I mean, the odds tell you that that's not how that's going to happen.
Right.
But Cedric and people like that, they don't want to hear that. Because they think a new quarterback means a new quarterback, it's like the Bengals, right? The Bengals finally fired Marvin Lewis, which is good for them. But then they hired a guy who's got no experience to be their head coach. And now they're 0-3. And they're terrible. And that's, I guess, my point here is, just because you fire the coach doesn't mean you've done the job. The question is, who are you going to hire to be the next coach? And then you have to go get a new coach. And it's the same with quarterback. It's the same with right guard. Josh Klein was not good last year. They fired Josh Klein. They replaced him with nobody. They took the guy off the practice squad. They brought him up. They're terrible. Well, now is it a good idea to fire Josh Klein, Floyd?
Well, I'm sure Josh Klein would have an opinion about that.
I think everybody has an opinion about that.
Yeah, that's tough. But, I mean, I don't, it's hard. I look at it the way it is. I mean, because that's the way I live my whole life. It's not, you know, it's hard for me to suppose and, you know, what ifs and all those kinds of things. I just know the way it is. And the way it is right now it's Marcus's turn, and Marcus has got to produce. I mean, that's bottom line.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jerry and the GM, we are live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Preds tonight against Carolina right here, also on TV. Coming up next, what Marcus had to say today, facing some of the heat after a not-so-hot performance against Jacksonville. What did Marcus have to say before they get ready for the Falcons? It's Jared and the GM on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Things are not looking so hot for Marcus Mariota on the Marcus Mariota approval poll rating, Floyd.
32%.
32%. The question is, Marcus Mariota approval poll week 3, which we are doing every Wednesday of the football season, at least until Mariota gets benched. And that is, which I hope doesn't happen, but it seems more and more likely by the poll. Marcus Mariota approval poll, the official one, week 3. Do you approve of Marcus Mariota as the Titans quarterback? Week 1, 74%. Week 2, 52%. Week 3, 32% say yes, 56% say no, and 12% have no opinion. Even if Marcus were to capture the 12% of the no opinion, he would still have a negative approval poll rating from the fans. Go ahead.
I thought it would be worse than that, though. I mean, I thought it'd be way down.
So when I first started the poll, now we're over about 1,000 votes in. When I first started the poll, I thought it was going to be... Yeah, I was worried he was going to be in the 20s.
That's where I thought he'd be.
How long until it becomes just obvious? Like, how bad does it have to get to then you're at the point where you're like, well, Tannehill's going to go in anyways. Like, is he going to get below 10% before Tannehill goes in? Or do you think that he won't get to below 10% before Tannehill goes in?
On these?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I have no clue. I mean, I don't... You know, that certainly won't have a bearing on whether he goes in or not. I mean,
I know, but if it becomes obvious to everyone that he's not good, then they would make the change.
Oh, obvious to everyone doesn't make it obvious to the organization. I mean, because there are going to be those people that hate Marcus that it's obvious to now, obvious to was last year, and there are going to be those that love him that it will never be obvious. So, I mean, you got to...
I know, but like in 2006, no offense, I wanted you to keep Billy Volek as the quarterback, but you signed Kerry Collins and you released Billy Volek, you traded Billy Volek, and Vince Young was a backup. And I was like, after the first couple losses, I'm like, all right, screw it, put Vince in. And no, and no, and no. And then you were what, 0-6?
I believe that's right.
And then Vince Young starts a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that was when it became obvious to everyone that you might as well just go ahead and start Vince Young. And you did, and you won some games.
Right.
Well, that's when it becomes obvious to everyone. And when it becomes obvious to everyone is when it's obvious to the team, too. And the team makes the move. That's like you said about the quarterback change. If it happens, you said.
Well, yeah, but that they wanted Vince week one.
I did want Vince week one.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wanted Vince. Oh, yeah, he's got to do it, got
to
do it.
But it wasn't obvious to everyone that Vince was the best option until you were 0-5, and then it was obvious it was time to play Vince.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't obvious because, I mean, it was only obvious because you knew that the other guy was not going to get any better. I mean, it was a matter of, okay, we can't win with this guy. So we know we can't win with him. Can we win with the young guy? Well, we're not sure. You know, let's see. And then, sure enough, he went in. We ended up winning a little bit.
Right. And that's my point, is when it becomes obvious to everyone is when everyone sits there and says, you can't win with Mariota. Not just Cedric, not just my dad, but, like, even me. And everyone else says, all right, you know what? You can't win with this guy. Time to move on. That's when it would become obvious. And I think at that point, he'd be polling around 10% when it would become obvious to everyone.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
Right.
What do you think a win would do? If they win Sunday at Atlanta, you think it goes back to 52? You think it goes back to 70? What do you think?
No, at least 65.
At least 65 would win? You think that the fans are that fickle?
Absolutely. What kind of question is that?
I mean, I'm not that fickle. I've stood behind Marcus. I still approve of Marcus as the quarterback. And I think Marcus had a better game against Jacksonville than he did against Indianapolis. Ian, am I not consistent in my support of Mariota?
I think so. What about week 17 against Indy, though, last year?
Well, that was more like that's different than the I don't think you can be the quarterback as much as it is I don't think you can stay healthy. And that was the problem.
Okay.
So that one was just because Steve McNair would have never missed that game.
Don't listen to his BS.
I don't care what the injury was.
That's all stories made up.
It's not true.
It's flip-flopping. That was
Ian
a flip-flop.
He listens every day to this show. He listens to this show more than you listen to this show.
Yeah.
And so he would know. Marcus today met with the media and said, hey, it's time for this football team to get back to the basics.
Through the course of a year, through the course of training camp, sometimes the fundamentals get lost. And I think that's why Coach Vrabel does a great job of just reiterating to us to get back to the basics. And that practice on Monday was good for everybody.
So Vrabel talked about having a practice in fundamentals on Monday. Floyd, how important is it for this team right now, based upon what you see on the field, to have a practice that is dedicated to the fundamentals of football?
Well, I mean, it can never be bad. But, I mean, we're 3 weeks out of camp. I mean, if the fundamentals are already shot, then they didn't learn very well to begin with. I mean, in 3 weeks, you should be, you know, never skipping a beat from a fundamental standpoint. So,
but are their fundamentals bad?
I didn't know, sir.
I mean, what would you see that would make you think that, hey, this is a fundamentally bad?
Ton of missed tackles, ton of holding penalties because you're, you know, falling down or you're tripping or you're whatever the case may be. You know, coverage, guys in coverage that are stumbling and tripping and, you know, going down, just things like that.
Ramal on Twitter says, can the Mariota haters have a segment where they just call in and say what the last straw for them on Mariota was? Speaking of those fundamentals, Marcus wondering about his fundamentals and about losing his fundamentals. This is what Mariota said about having to focus on your fundamentals.
You said the fundamentals get lost sometimes. What kind of things can pull a quarterback away from that stuff that you work so hard on out here?
Well, when you're playing these defenses week in and week out, I think the complexities of what you're seeing, I think you spend a little more time focusing on digesting some of this stuff. With that being said, at times you lose track of the fundamentals because you're spending so much time trying to just prepare yourself mentally for the game. And I think really it's on all of us throughout the course of the year to talk about the fundamentals and the basics. But I really appreciate the fact that Coach Vrabel took the time and we specifically had a practice for it.
Floyd, what do you think of that? The fact that, hey, the game plan can just bog you down too much, you lose your fundamentals. I'm sitting there thinking, Marcus, you need to practice more if you're worried about losing the fundamentals because of the game plan. Because I know those guys in New England don't lose their fundamentals because the game plan bogs them down.
Yeah, it's I mean, you know the way Marcus is. I mean, Marcus is complimenting the coach for having a fundamental practice, whether it helped him or not. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is part of the, you know, why people love him over there.
Is that like if someone invites you to something you really don't want to go to, and you're like, oh, my God, I wish I could go, and I can't.
Yeah.
But you know what? I want to thank you and Jenny for having this great event, and very thankful for the opportunity to be invited. And if there's anything I could do, let me know. I just not able to go.
Yeah. I mean, you go to a party or something, and then the guy the next day or the gal says, how'd you like the party? What are you going to say? It wasn't very good. No. Oh, it was great. Had a great time. It was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting us. Oh, I love the practice. Fundamentals? Oh, yeah. Fundamentals are my thing. Thank you very much.
What about spreading the ball around, Marcus? Humphreys, Sharp, Delaney, Davis, Brown. Get those guys the ball.
You know, I think Art's doing a great job of allowing our guys to get open. I just got to complete them. And it's like a jump shooter in basketball. You know, as I see guys kind of catch the ball, I think we get in a rhythm as an entire offense. We'll find ways to sustain drives and score points.
What do you think of that, Marcus, saying, hey, as I see guys catch the ball, that'll get me in a rhythm?
Oh, I think there's something to that. I mean, I think that, and it's not necessarily, in my opinion anyway, it's not necessarily the fact that you're just completing balls as much as it's, you know, I'm getting back, I'm planning, the ball's coming out in time, I'm throwing it at these guys, they have, you know, they're able to catch it and get whatever they can get. And the more times in a row you can do that, I think the better off you feel about it.
And then finally, is he seeing the field, Marcus? Is this a problem for Mariota?
How would you maybe rate or characterize how you're seeing the field right now?
I feel like I'm seeing it fine. You know, like any other guy, I think any other quarterback, week to week, there might be one that you miss or a couple that you miss that you would want to have back, but for the most part, I feel like I'm seeing everything pretty good.
Floyd, do you think he's seeing the field fine? Is seeing the field and reading the defense a worry for you?
I mean, it's no more a worry. I mean, I wouldn't say that his problem with, you know, completions and all of that kind of thing is because he's got no clue where to put the ball as much as its accuracy. And he just, there are too many passes, he's just not accurate.
But wasn't he accurate early in his career?
I don't know that he was accurate. I mean, you got to keep in mind, in college and where he came from, there's room. You know, there's, the hashes are so far apart. So if the ball's over on that hash, you virtually have two-thirds of the field. Mm-hmm. And there is always a yard or two space. There are people that, you know, give you room. Well, in the NFL, that doesn't exist now. You know, those hashes are 6.5 yards apart. So everything happens right there in the middle of the field, and everything's a little bit tighter. And so your accuracy, where you put the ball, when you put the ball, is much more important.
Coming up next, Jared and the GM, we are live from Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Canes tonight right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators game day is next. It's Jared and the GM right here live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group and TJAndersonHomes.com. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN
1025 The Game.
Redditors Game Day is brought to you by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group at 615-221-4200. And GM, do not get catfished.
Unless it's on the ice.
Bingo. Tonight, I screwed it up last week. Now you screw it up. Tonight, the Predators at home, their final preseason showdown before they go on the road for their final preseason game, their final home preseason game before next Thursday when the season starts. Big game tonight as far as preseason games are concerned against the Carolina Hurricanes. And here is the roster for that game. Here are the guys that are good that are going to play. Ryan Ellis, Dan Hamhuis, Kyle Turris, Nick Bonino, Matias Seckholm, Craig Smith, Cali Yarncroke, Mika Salamaki, Rocco Grimaldi, Jared Tenorti, who Crispy was on today saying he loved Tenorti. He's a defenseman who's going to be in there. Daniel Carr, Victor Arvidsson, Pekka Rinne will play goal along with UC Saros, so the two guns are back in that regard. Austin Watson, Fabro, Granlin, Johansson, and Duchesne. No Philip Forsberg today for the Predators. We start, of course, with the coach's take. Coach Peter Laviolette, of course, that coach's take is powered by TJ Anderson Holmes, TJAndersonHolmes.com. Floyd, TJ, always a good buddy of our show. TJAndersonHolmes.com. Peter Laviolette on breaking up the Jofa line as Philip Forsberg is playing with Matt Duchesne, and Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson are playing with Kyle Turris. This is what Peter Laviolette had to say about that.
What it could do is it could bring a little bit more balance to the lines, and maybe you look at it that way. I'm not sure if we'll like it or if it'll work, but training camp is an opportunity to try that. You know, and looking at Forsberg and Duchesne playing the one outing that they had together, they were pretty dynamic, and so I really like the way that we played. And again, it's as we start to get through training camp and against full lineups, you'll know a little bit more, but it could provide a better balance.
Where I have to give Peter credit here, Floyd, in my opinion, is the fact that, you know, he said at the start of that clip, I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm not sure. But let's see if it provides more balance. And I guess the way I look at it is, let's say that the Jofa line accounts for 100 goals, right? I don't know the totals. I know Arvidsson was close to 40 last year, or I think he got 30 last year, would have had 40 if he hadn't gotten hurt. Forsberg's usually good for 25. Johansson's good for about 15. So you're talking about 70 goals or so that line is usually responsible for. If he breaks them up and you add Duchesne, and now instead of 70 goals, the two lines account for 100 goals, then that's the right decision. If it takes away from the Jofa line and you're only getting 65 goals, then you put Forsberg back, and you know you'll have enough time during the season to be able to figure that out.
Well, I mean, that's the way I look at it, is if you're got you split them up and now you've taken your 100 goals and whittled it down to 70 or whatever, then you know you're going the wrong way. If you can split it up and end up with some kind of an increase, then I'm all for it.
Well, and it was, you know, interesting talking to Crispy today earlier, and I've got my conspiracy theory about the Predators trying to kind of fatten up the stats of a Granlin or of a Turris or of a Smith or somebody, and then that way they can turn around and trade them. And, you know, I don't know if Crispy agrees with my theory or not, but I do think he believes that this will be a good move for the team. And the other thing it does is it gives Duchesne some firepower to play with by putting him with Forsberg, because the last thing you want Duchesne to do is come in there and be with, you know, Granlin and Turris, and Duchesne can't score any goals, and then all of us are going to be on the radio wondering, why isn't this guy scoring any goals?
Well, and the point he made that I thought was exactly right, which was, if you've got one line that's outstanding, I can defend that. I can find a way, you know, if I've got any kind of defense. But if you have two, and now I have to double up on that, there are not many people that have enough good quality players that they can eliminate both lines. So it makes sense.
What do we feel so far about the fact that the young guys that were really impressive got sent down? The Pitlicks and the Tolvanens and those kind of guys. I mean, you heard Crispy talk about them. He absolutely loved them. Are you okay with David Poyle starting the season with the veterans and then probably working in those young guys along the way?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the bottom line is if you can send all those guys down, I mean, Milwaukee needed a little kick in the butt anyway. You know, things were getting thin down there. So I think you can look at this now and the people they've sent down and say, hey, that is a solid, solid group. And should we need to bring up, you know, any one of those guys, we feel really good about that. So it's kind of like a little bit of a security blanket, if you will.
I think what'll be interesting is, you know, this is hockey. Guys are going to get hurt. You're going to need Rim Petlick. You're going to need, hopefully, Ellie Tolvanen. And it's not one of those things where we're sitting there all season long going, where in the heck is Ellie Tolvanen? At least, you know, that's kind of my hope. Tonight, the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes. We went over the roster. That game is coming up. The pregame show is obviously coming up next. But, Floyd, what are we watching for tonight? Preds and Canes right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, I think the two things I'm going to pay particular attention to are the two things that we're probably most excited to see, which is how, in fact, these first two lines look and the power play. I mean, we want to see the new power play, and see, this will be the first chance for a lot of the
first TV game?
Yeah, for listeners, because of TV, they'll get a chance to see it. So I think those are the two areas I'm kind of excited about.
For me, I want to see these bottom six guys play with physicality tonight, and I kind of want, to me, this is the last tune-up. I know they play Friday, and they'll send their guy, but this is your home game, and next Thursday it gets rocking and rolling. I want to see if the physicality is there early on in the season as they get rolling along. That's it for us. We're out of here. Predators pregame coming up next as the Preds take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Morning drive at 6 a.m. We'll have full reaction to this and to the Titans. And, of course, Darren and Donick and Jared and the GM are back tomorrow as well. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.